Welcome to The Grace Hour, a Christian program that takes a dive into our daily challenges and helps us learn our faith in a practical way. My name is Paul Androlonis. I'm joined by Pastor Justin Schaller in the studio. Today we will be talking about a proper theology of healing. So, Pastor Justin, what is a proper theology of healing?
Why are you dishing it to me? That's all you. You opened.
Oh, okay.
Give us the intro.
Well, I think like what I was thinking of, and we both had a similar, you know, this verse in Isaiah 53 talks about, you know, the healing that we can experience in who God is. And I think in our conversation, we'll just kind of go through some of the different, you know, Jesus healed many people in his ministry, and then the apostles and his disciples, they healed people, and what exactly that looks like as far as for us in our lives as Christians, as pastors, and how we relate to the healing that can happen, and also how we can be able to experience or to live our lives when the healing doesn't happen in our lives. And in Isaiah 53, starting in verse 4, it says, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." And I think if we're going to talk about healing in general, as believers or as people, that we have to talk about the healing that happens in our hearts. You know, we are healed. And I think in Isaiah 53, what it's talking about is that, you know, we are healed from a general standpoint, from a universal standpoint of who we are in our heart. We are healed from the depravity of the sin that besets us, the depravity of the old man. We are brought into this new place as a new human being because of the stripes that Christ bore on our behalf. And now we are healed from sin, and then we are able to be healed, you know, maybe in other ways. And that's like where I think maybe we'll start, is that idea of like by his stripes we are healed. And what role does the death of Christ, the salvation we have in Christ, play in our healing practically in our lives?
Right.
Right.
And so like the word healing, there can be many different types, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
So like the healing that we're talking about this week, when we say healing, what do most people think of?
A physical healing, probably.
Yeah, physical healing.
Yeah.
And then you have like psychological issues.
Mm-hmm.
You have emotional issues.
Mm-hmm.
You have traumas from the past.
Yeah.
You have maybe defects, personality defects.
Yeah.
You have wounds, we use that word, mm-hmm. which is more of an invisible spiritual condition that needs healing. So we can maybe talk about this passage,
mm-hmm.
and we can really, this passage is so important because like all the, let's just call them like word of faith, like the word of faith movements.
Mm-hmm.
So word of faith movements are movements that are really centered around healing,
mm-hmm.
and it's centered around physical healing and mm-hmm. emotional healing, psychological healing.
Mm-hmm.
They take this passage in Isaiah 53, which I would say most of our listeners know that Isaiah 53 is talking about the future Messiah,
mm-hmm.
even though it's interesting that it's written in past tense.
Mm-hmm.
Isaiah 53.
We are healed.
Are healed. So, yeah. So it's Isaiah actually looking forward to a group of people that are looking back, which is kind of interesting. That's maybe for another day.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really about Christ, and this is about Christ 800 years before Christ comes, 600 years before, I believe 600 years before crucifixion was even invented. I think the Assyrians invented it.
Mm-hmm.
And you have these phrases that he was pierced. He was crushed. He was wounded. So we see that Christ came. He did the work on the cross. I would say the main point of this is that he's the suffering servant. He's going to die on a cross
mm-hmm.
for the atonement or the payment of our healing. So the question is, what is that healing? Is that healing a physical healing, mm-hmm. or is that healing a spiritual healing only?
Yeah.
They take it as this is the atonement for spiritual healing and then also for physical healing.
Yeah.
And so there's, I have a quote from one of these guys who's, let's just say, word of faith, meaning all word of faith is that you speak it into existence. Mm-hmm. And this is actually an ideology and a philosophy that we see just in the world in general, like with these that book that came out, The Secret, mm-hmm. that a lot of celebrities push,
yeah.
which is manifestation. All
name
you have to do,
yeah,
name
yeah.
it and claim it.
Yeah.
All you have to do is just fill your mind with it, mm-hmm. and then the universe will bring it to you. But all you have to do is name it,
yeah.
and then the universe will bring you that. So in the Christian circles, it could be, all you have to do is declare your healing because Christ has already mm-hmm. given that to you through his atoning work on the cross. Mm-hmm. It's up to you. That's only, so the atonement in their eyes is potential.
Yeah.
It's not fulfilled atonement, meaning that Christ's work on the cross gives you the potential to activate it by your faith to give you mm-hmm. that healing. So
yeah.
this one pastor, he this, and I quote, this is what he said, when what came on Jesus was not just the whip stripping the flesh off his bare back, but your sickness and diseases. Each time he was whipped, every form of sickness, disease, arthritis, cancer, diabetes, bird flu, dengue fever, it came upon him. Bird flu, I think this is maybe dating. this quote here. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we were healed. Today, healing is your right because Jesus has paid the price for your healing. So if the devil says you cannot be healed, just declare Jesus has paid for my healing. Disease has no right to be in my body. I am healed in Jesus' name. So he's taking that from Isaiah 53 mm-hmm. when he says, when he was being beaten, the flesh was being torn off of his back. It wasn't just his flesh, but it was your sickness and your disease that was also being stripped off of his back. So they take that from Isaiah 53. So the interpretation of that passage is extremely important because there's some circles that say it's your healing in a spiritual sense, yeah. and then there's other circles that say it's your healing spiritually, but then also in your physical body as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think like what one thing he said is like, it's your right. Like it's your right to the healing because of what he has done. You have a right to that. And I think like we can fall into that idea or that thought that, well, if I am not being healed, because people have physical things that they struggle with on a daily basis. I mean, most people have something about them that physically that is bothering them that they would like God to heal.
Of course.
Right. And if I'm saying I have a right to being healed by Jesus's blood, by his, well, then why am I not being healed?
Mm-hmm.
So one, it could like diminish the power, my perceived power of the work of Christ. If I'm not being healed, like if he can't heal me, then how powerful is he for my salvation?
Sure.
Which is a problem. And then also like I could, you know, reflect back on me too, saying, well, maybe I'm not spiritual enough. That's why, you know, and people could sit, I mean, pastors or leaders of people who believe this name and claim a thing, well, maybe you're not spiritual enough. Maybe you're not giving to the church enough.
Absolutely.
Maybe you're not serving enough. Maybe you're not doing all these things. And that's why you're not being healed. And if that's the way that I'm thinking, then okay, then my healing is based on what I am doing.
Yes.
And it's not based on who Christ is.
Right.
And therefore I am deficient, and I'm always going to be left without this healing potentially.
Yes.
And I, instead of looking to Christ, who I should look to, I'm looking at myself.
Yes.
Or looking for another method that healing can come by, because Christ isn't powerful enough. If he hasn't healed me yet,
right,
he must not be powerful enough to heal me.
Absolutely.
Right? Which is like kind of a, you know, scary place to be. Like if the person I believe saved me is unable to heal me, mm-hmm. like what is my mentality in that? And I think like the Apostle Paul in his, you know, when he's talking about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, He's talking about a boasting in his infirmities, right? We're talking about healing and being healed, but Paul actually, like, he boasts in his infirmities, like, so that he wouldn't be able to boast in anything else, right? He's boasting in God. He says, verse 7, yeah, lest it should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations. A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. So, like, he has this thing that is concerning him. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's a spiritual thing, but we can use it in this application for healing. Like, I've asked God to heal me of this thing. I've asked him over and over and over again, and he hasn't done it. Like, what is my viewpoint on God if he can't heal me? But then he says, God responded to me and said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Mm. Like, sometimes we're so eager to be healed, to have God heal us, so that we can bring glory to him, you know, so that we can show that we are healed. But maybe it's God's will that we would not be healed and that we would bring glory to him in a different way. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that that's a difficult thought to think. It's a difficult, you know, just especially some of these diseases. And we've had many people in our ministry that have had, you know, thinking of Pastor Carl Silva in India, him specifically, like praying for healing, praying for deliverance from this thing, but maybe it was God's will that he would bring glory through that that disease that he had that eventually took his life. But if we are trusting that God's grace is sufficient for us, I can rejoice in the healing, and I can also be have confidence and contentment in, you know, the sickness or in whatever it is that I am going through with God with me.
Yes. You know? Yeah, going back to let's just say the healing movement or the word of faith movement. Mm-hmm. So this comes into kind of the category of, could it be false teaching? Mm-hmm. So you have a viewpoint that the apostolic ministry of the apostles, mm-hmm. Well, first off, we can start here. So Christ did miracles and he healed people physically.
Yeah.
Whenever he healed people physically, it was always bringing them to a place that they could see that they needed to be healed spiritually. Mm-hmm. So when he would, like, open someone's ears, or a deaf person could hear, or the blind could see, mm-hmm. or the lame could walk, These were always pointing to, like, spiritual realities. Like when Lazarus was raised from the dead, mm-hmm. this was just a precursor to what Christ was going to do in a few days when he was going to be risen from the dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
So his miracles were always showing his authority in what he said. Mm-hmm. So they were a sign. His physical healing was done out of compassion. He wanted to heal people. He healed who knows how many people, thousands upon thousands of people. Yeah. But it wasn't an end. It was only a means for the people to actually listen to the words that he was going to say. Because mm-hmm. remember in John 6 when he feeds the 5,000, which were probably more like 25,000 because it just mm-hmm. says men, but there's women and children.
Yeah.
He does the healing. And then as soon as he starts to speak, what happens? John 6:66, his disciples turn and leave.
Mm-hmm.
So they were healed physically. They were fed physically. But they weren't able to listen to his words.
Yeah.
And so what's it worth if you're healed, but you don't come under the authority of the word? So that's so that's the first thing.
Yeah.
The second thing is that Christ gave his apostles the same power to do healing.
Yeah.
So that's a big thing. Do we have the same apostleship mm-hmm. with the same power to heal? And so there's two camps.
Yeah.
There's some that believe, which we would say that these people are cessationists, mm-hmm. meaning that when the apostles died, the gifts that the apostles had that was given to them by Christ ceased.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have non-cessationists, mm-hmm. which believe that the apostles' gifts carry on mm-hmm. through the church age.
Yeah.
And now you have some people that are quote-unquote apostles. yeah. which they have the same gifts that Peter had and mm-hmm. the disciples had, which was that they could lay hands on people and they could be healed, right?
Yeah.
Like even Peter's shadow passed by and mm-hmm. the man was in that shadow and he was healed.
Yeah.
So I would say the Word of Faith movement takes from the scripture the belief that there are people today that have that gift that Peter had
mm-hmm.
in the sense that he's a healer. He has the gift of healing.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, they will have a movement where they will, you know, get people together and declare them to be healed and that they have the gift and the power to be able to heal. And the person just has to show faith. And usually, how is that faith shown? It's usually shown through money.
Yeah.
It's usually shown through some sort of act of service.
Yeah.
Like, I trust God enough. No, you got to give a little bit more.
Yeah.
But in the New Testament, whenever there's healing, it's only according to the mercy of God. It doesn't have anything to do with the work of man
mm-hmm.
to be healed. It's rather that it's the mercy of God. And the example that I have from that is just in Philippians chapter 2, you have... there's a man that's with the Apostle Paul. His name is Epaphroditus. And mm-hmm. it says at the end, he's from the church in Philippi. He's a guy who came to the Apostle Paul when Paul was in Rome. He was in prison. And on the journey there, he got really sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he got sick to the point that he almost died. And so Paul says in verse 25 of Philippians chapter 2, I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker, fellow soldier, your messenger and minister to my need, for he has been longing for you all and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death, but God had mercy on him. So you have Epaphroditus who was sick almost to the point of death. And you have to think in that day and age, I mean, those people could die of like anything, some bacterial infection or mm-hmm. parasite or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
Like with Timothy, like Timothy's sick, and what does Paul say? Paul doesn't say, you know, go to a Word of Faith guy and have him lay mm-hmm. his hands on you. And if you have enough faith, God's going to take away your stomach ailment. But what does Paul say? Like, take a concoction, drink it down for your mm-hmm. stomach because it's going to help you probably with the parasites that you have.
Yeah.
So in this example, Epaphroditus was healed, and Paul says it was because of the mercy of God that he was healed. So that's a good question. Is it based upon the individual having enough faith? Because like you said, if you have the faith and you've given everything and you're still not healed, what's the end conclusion of that logically? God doesn't accept me. Yeah. I haven't done enough. I haven't given enough. God must be angry with me,
mm-hmm.
whatever it might be. So their mindset, hearing from a preacher, Christ has paid for your sickness and all your diseases. You should be healed, but you have the problem that you don't have enough faith. Therefore, God's not going to open up the floodgates to heal you.
Yeah.
So what do you live in? Condemnation.
Exactly, yeah.
And that, I don't think that's the right way to look at it.
No, yeah, because I think like your viewpoint of God has changed at that point, that now it requires me to do something in order for me to experience the fullness of who he is. And it goes back to that. Like, okay, if he can't heal me, then how is he going to save me? Right? If he can't do this and I need to give and I need to lay down my life or serve, or you can't enjoy anything nice. I can't, you know, all these different things that we are. And then I see the hypocrisy in that other people are, you know, being healed that do nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, potentially with their life, and they aren't giving, but I'm giving, and I can see it. You can see it becoming an issue in the lives of people because of that, you know, it being based on faith. And maybe, I mean, part of it maybe is coming from that, these two blind men that are in Luke chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. But there's like, Jesus asks them, like, Jesus departed from there. Two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, Do you believe that I am able to do this? And they said, Yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, According to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, See that no one knows it. And when they had departed, they spread the news. But like, do you believe? And I think there's a difference between him asking, like, when he says, do you believe that I am able to do this? He's not saying your belief is required in order for you to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
I think he just wants them to recognize his power. And like you were saying, the miracles that he did were not necessarily for the sake of the people. Yes, he cared about those individuals that were being healed and fed and delivered from whatever it was, but he was demonstrating who he was to them so they could know who he was, not so they could say, oh, I believed and now I can see because I believed. It was about them, I can see now. Mm-hmm. I was blind and I can see, and this is the person who did it. This is the person who has that power. And I think in Matthew chapter 8, we see all these different scenarios where he's healing different people. And I think, like we're saying, it's him healing these people so that they will know who he is, so that they will experience the power of who he is, and not just the power to heal, but the power to save. You know, and that's like, we see that he cleanses a leper in the beginning of Matthew chapter 8. And then he, you know, the centurion who doesn't, he just says, at your word, you can heal. And while he's on his way, his servant is healed. And then we have the Peter's mother-in-law that's healed. And then we have all these different examples of Jesus healing people. And, you know, the going to the woman caught, no, not the, the woman who had the issue of blood, right? She had this faith in him. And if only I could touch the edge of his garment, right? If only I can, she had a view of who he was, right? And maybe she thought he can heal me. But after she saw that he healed her, she recognized that he can save her. And I think if we're looking for Jesus to just heal us, then we're looking at him for the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Right? He's not just healing us, but he is saving us. So if the healing is going to make me lose sight of the salvation that I get in him, that he has given to me, like we said at the beginning, Isaiah 53, by his stripes, we are healed spiritually. And that way I can see if he heals me physically, if he heals me emotionally, if he heals me spiritually, I can experience the reality of who he is and the power of who he is through that salvation that I get. So that's, I think, if that healing is all that I'm looking for from Christ, then I'm missing the whole point, right?
That's it. So that's John 6. John 6, he does. John 6 is huge chapter. What is it? 71 verses. It's just an unbelievable day. And he's doing all of these miraculous things. And then at the end of it, all of those people, 20,000 people, they all leave. And then look at what he says to his disciples. Verse 66, after this, many of his disciples turned back, no longer walked with him. After he just did all those miracles.
Yeah.
But why did they leave? Because he spoke the word. And it was too much. Eat my flesh, drink my blood. That's too much. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. So the whole point of it is, if I'm not healed or I don't get any longer what you're going to give me, what I think I need, I still have Christ. You have the words of eternal life. You have the ultimate hope. So the other portion, like you were saying in Matthew, like he does the healing of the blind man and the withered hand. And then that's the portion of scripture in Matthew chapter 12, where the Pharisees finally come with their declaration of who they think Christ is. They can't deny his power. They can't deny his miracles. But what do they deny? They deny that he came from heaven, and they say that he came from hell. And Jesus says that you can offend the Son of Man, but you can't offend the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, meaning that the power that he was operating in was coming from hell rather than heaven. So the point just being that the healings of Christ were out of compassion, and that he's the great physician. He can heal whenever he wants to heal. But healing isn't the end. Healing is only the affirmation of what he's going to say, right, to us. And like when Peter in the book of Acts, I don't I don't know, is it maybe Acts, I don't know, 6? It's not Acts 7, but where is it where Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit and he goes into that town, and what is it, the witch doctor in the town? Is it Simon?
Simon, yeah.
It's Acts. Probably maybe a little bit further. I don't know, 11? I don't know. But in that chapter...
Acts 8,
okay. Mm-hmm. So Peter's in the town. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. He's doing healing. Simon's the witch doctor in the town. And Simon has the monopoly on the town because everybody comes to him, pays him a little portion, a little money or whatever it is,
yeah.
And he does the healing through demonic power.
Mm-hmm.
Peter comes and he's doing healing from a completely different source. Simon recognizes it.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, how much do you want?
Yeah.
How much do I have to pay to get what you have? Because what Peter has is unbelievably profitable.
Mm-hmm.
Peter has something that he can monopolize that. So this man's doing it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
He doesn't want the Holy Spirit power to heal based upon bringing people to Christ, but he wants it for monetary gain.
Yeah.
So that point, maybe we belabored that point, but just to say that healing can be seen as something where you have favor from God that other believers don't have.
Mm-hmm.
You have more faith than other believers. It's a form of legalism. It's a form of control. It's a form of manipulation, mm-hmm. in the sense that, oh, I have some sort of apostolic healing power that God's given to me, and mm-hmm. people just have to come and I'll lay my hands or drink my little. It's crazy what, if you just go on YouTube and watch some of these people,
they
market like some sort of crazy coconut juice, mm-hmm. and like, just drink this and it's got some little golden dust in it and you'll be healed. Like, I saw that, like, a video about this, and this faith healer in Africa,
really,
who's out back, and he's got all these people who he employs, and they're all making these huge vats of this special juice, and he sells the juice out of the front of his house, and he's got one of his kids
miracle
collecting the money. It's like miracle juice. But I mean, to think that you're going to be, like, he's a wolf. The guy's a wolf.
Yeah.
And so he's using the word of God for his own profit. So there is a lot of, we have to say there is a lot of that.
Yeah. And I think, like, what is the, you know, and we are longing for that healing. People want to be healed. People want to have that deliverance. And, you know, we know, or we've learned and we've been taught, that the only way to really be delivered in through those things is through the work that Christ has done. But in thinking about those different things, like you said, Simon, the sorcerer Simon in Acts chapter 8, and him wanting to, you know, have this special power to cast out demons, I think there is a connection between healing and, you know, the casting out of demons. We see it in Jesus' ministry in Mark chapter 1, like the first, he goes into Capernaum, he goes and he teaches, and he casts out a demon of a man who's in the church, who's in the synagogue, and Jesus rebukes the demon, and it says in verse 27, they were all amazed, they questioned among themselves and said, what is this? Is this a new doctrine? By what authority is he able to cast out these unclean? And his fame grew. He was immediately, you know, his fame grew, and then he went and he was healing people and he was casting out demons. He was healing people and he was casting out demons. And I think, like, some of these healings that we have, or some of these ailments that we have, yes, they're physical maybe, or emotional, or they're a result of, you know, there's lots of different studies and psychology and psychiatry and different things that are, but I think spiritual warfare is something that plays a role in the ways that we feel and the things that come against us.
Mm-hmm.
And because of how much it is in scripture that Jesus healed and the apostles healed and then they cast out demons, I think it's something that we should think of, like, okay, maybe I am healed, but there's something in my life that is a spiritual force or demonic thing in my life that is keeping me from experiencing that healing that I have in Christ. And we don't have time to delve too far into all of those different things, but I think it's something that maybe just to, you know, touch on briefly, like thinking of, okay, what, you know, type of warfare are we fighting against, right? There's spiritual warfare that's real, and the deliverance from healing is something that I think we can experience, or that could be held back because of a, you know, demonic thing in our lives or something that we are not letting go of or something we're not letting God cast out.
Yeah, I mean, I think the theology of like the Word of Faith movement is dangerous because they believe that you should live a prosperous, healthy, you know, have full vitality and health and capability, and God wants you to be the best that you can possibly be, like right now.
Yeah.
And we know that not to be true because we still live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
So because of that fallen world, there's going to be a time that all of us are going to go home and be with the Lord. I mean, it's because of the fall. So if we live in a fallen world, we have fallen bodies and our flesh has not been perfected yet. That is not to say that God can't heal our physical ailments. And he does it in different ways. I mean, he does it through modern medicine, but he does it through health. He does it through sleep. He does it through many different means.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, if I'm hungry, like it's not me not having faith. It's not me not having faith if I eat something.
Yeah.
It's know that he's created food to deal with my physical hunger that I have. So when we look at the physical body, there are physical means. There's not always a spiritual answer for a physical issue.
Yeah.
So if I'm hungry, the grace of God isn't going to fill my stomach at the moment. A hamburger is going to fill my stomach. Just the same way a physical thing can't fill a spiritual need.
Yeah.
So I'm spiritually broken and a physical thing can't heal that. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, if I have a physical ailment, high blood pressure, diabetes, I have a heart issue, I have a cancer, can God heal me supernaturally? Absolutely. There's no question. And that's in James chapter 4. If there's anyone who's sick, have them come forward in the church and we'll lay hands and we'll anoint with oil and we'll pray and we'll believe. But it's up to God, because like what you read in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 with Paul, who buffeted him? Like that word is like punched in the face. Like he was, like you said, was it physical? Was it a spiritual ailment that he had? But he was buffeted by who? Satan. But who allowed it? God did.
Yeah.
So God ultimately is in control. If it's a demonic opposition, if it's a demonic, let's just say a psychological issue, like someone has depression, that can definitely be spiritual.
Yeah,
it could. There's no question. If you want to read about it, Martin Lloyd-Jones, who was a physician who turned into a preacher, awesome, amazing preacher, Welch preacher, he writes on this subject called spiritual depression. And he says as Christians, we can look at it too simplistically. Because there's many different factors that you have to go into to dive in. If someone has an emotional or psychological issue, like I want the Lord to lift me out of this depression, which we can all go through at times. But if you believe Word of Faith, it's like I should never be in a depression. But what if it's ordained by God that you are in that depression? And Lloyd-Jones dives into it and he says, you got to first, you look at the physical. What's your diet look like? What's your exercise look like? What's your sleep patterns look like? What do your relationships look like? Are you stressed out from work? Are you working too much? Are you underworked? What is there a balance there? Then let's go to like psychological makeup. Do you kind of run on the high end? You know, do you deal with anxiety and do you deal with pressure in the wrong way? Then let's go spiritually. Where's your spiritual life? Like, are you living in a habitual sin and God's actually laying his hand on you and disciplining you that you're in it? And then the last one is this a spiritual attack? And it can be.
Yeah.
It can be. Charles Spurgeon, the prince of all preachers, went through long, torturous periods of depression because he had physical ailments. And he used to escape and he would go to the south of France to try to get treatment because he had gout and he had all of these physical ailments that he was never healed of. And as a result of that, he had severe depression. But he took it that the Lord gave him so much, just like Paul, I have so much revelation. Therefore, what does he say in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? He sent Satan to buffet me, thorn in the flesh. I asked three times. Lord said, no, you need that to bring you to a place of humility to receive grace. So it's ordained by God. We need to like have that in our minds that God is sovereign. God is ultimately in control. God knows that I have the cancer. He knows that I have the pain. Sometimes it's hard for me to speak of it because I've never gone through that. I mean, maybe in the future, like for us, we've lived fairly healthy lives up to this point. And we'll go through it, but we have to just now just trust and believe that God is sovereign. God is in control. God can heal if he wants. God cannot heal if he wants to. But ultimately, we're learning that we'll have a ultimate healing in the sense in heaven that there's, and that is clear in the Bible. No more sickness, no more disease. And his atonement paid for that ultimate freedom of sickness and death and pain and suffering. But right now, he can definitely heal. There's no question about it.
Yeah, and I think maybe there's like this question, like, okay, well, what am I have this ailment, I have this thing that, like you said, anxiety or depression, you said, looking through these different things, and, you know, how do we respond when, you know, we have maybe a short-sighted view of it, or we just say, you know, what's the way to resolve this? Like, oh, okay, you just need to pray and read your Bible more.
Right,
which is like, you know, maybe doesn't seem like such a practical
maybe you just need to get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, it's possible.
Maybe
exactly.
You got to go see the doctor.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there is. Like, I don't think, I don't want it to sound like we're saying that that's the every solution to everything, but it wouldn't hurt for me to get closer to God in the midst of those
things.
While also we have now, medicine and the science behind some of these things that can explain. They can explain why I'm feeling this way or why this is going on with my body or whatever it is. But at learning the why or having an explanation, me going to God and getting close to him and understanding who he is can also help me like be okay, even though this explanation isn't something I want to hear.
Yes.
Right? Okay, you're telling me that I have this, I have cancer and I have to go through chemotherapy or whatever. It's like, God, why did you have this happen to me? And we can ask that question and it can be very difficult for us to have an answer, no answer to that, unless we know who the God is that we are worshiping and who is a part of our lives so that we can, you know, be able to get through whatever those things are. And yes, it is difficult to talk about it without having gone through it. But I, you know, we know of people that have trusted in God and he has healed, healed them. And, you know, physicians don't understand it. Well, my mom in particular, she had an aneurysm that didn't burst in her brain that any other, you know, the doctors did not understand how it didn't. And her brain was bleeding and her brain fought back. And we were just like, really? It was miraculous, honestly. And it wasn't like, and honestly, we didn't really think of it so much as God doing something. But now looking back on it, I'm like, we were in like the neuro ICU at Johns Hopkins, and like she was there. And I was just like, God, thank you. Thank you for being who you are, right? And like knowing who he is, we were having joy and experience. And we're like, well, mom, you know, this is crazy what's going on, and laughing and joking around while people are down the hall having, you know, serious passing away and things like that. So like we have this connection with who God is that helps us in the midst of these times when we don't know what's going on. And that doesn't mean that it's going to be like, okay, this is easy, but it does give us peace.
Yes.
It does give us something beyond just the circumstances of this negative thing that I'm seeing, because in some cases there isn't a healing.
Yes.
Physically that's coming, but if I'm healed spiritually, then I can trust God that in this whatever it is, he can give me strength and give me purpose in that.
Like we have to say, oh man, like what you just said is so important, because like in your mom's case, God was providential. Meaning that he's sovereign, he's in control of everything, and he's going to provide in every situation. And when you look at your life, you realize, even in sickness, like he's providential in the sense of caring, because he cares. And what people need, if they're listening now, what they need to know, they can be in a place of hopelessness. If they have a physical ailment that they've been living with for like a very long time, they want the hope that they will be healed, and they should have that hope that they can be healed.
Yeah.
No question. And there's never a time that you should give up hope in the sense that God can't heal you, because he can. But I think just rest in the fact that even if you've been living with this, like psychological, like people go through like really harsh psychological problems, and like there is hope for you, and God is the answer to it, and he'll provide people in your life to help you through it, and you're not in it alone. And it's not as though that God's up there and saying, no, I don't do that anymore. I'm not in the business of healing, because he is.
Yeah.
And he's in the business of providing for that person. And there is hope that they are going to get better and follow Christ. Like, I love that story with the lepers. Mm-hmm. You know, like he heals the 10 lepers.
Yeah.
And they go and he says, go show yourself to the priest so that they could be deemed clean and go back into society.
Yeah.
And as they go, they are healed. And when... what was it, one leper or two one, leper? Yeah, one leper went one, back,
yeah.
And Jesus goes, where's the other nine?
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that amazing that that one leper went back to be, was he a follower of Christ? Was he there because he wanted to hear more of his words? But as they went in faith, they were healed. And God is healing us. Like going, maybe we can close with, there's the physical aspect and then there's the spiritual aspect of healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the physical aspect is we're in a fallen world and we can be living in broken bodies with bad backs and bad knees, yeah, and thyroid issues and diabetes and neurological issues. And can he heal? There's no question he can heal you. If he doesn't heal you, rest in the fact the spiritual healing, that is the healing that he's given us on the cross, where you're now free from sin, and you're going to have that ultimate day that you'll be freed from all pain and all sickness, and that's going to be amazing. In this period of time, if he heals you or if he doesn't heal you, we have to rest in the fact you're spiritually healed, you're spiritually perfected, spiritually finished, you're a healthy human being. Your new man is completely healthy. The sin that reigns in your mortal body is the thing that is the issue. And the sin that reigns in the flesh is the brain, is the heart, is the physical aspects of you. And that can be healed as well. But as you follow Christ, as you walk by faith, following him, he will heal you more and more and more. Or we could say it is you'll become more and more who he's already created you to be.
Yeah, as we become more and more like him.
Yeah.
Right? Until we see him face to face, when we will be ultimately healed. Like we were saying, like, he's not, maybe if he doesn't heal you physically, then, you know, when we see him, we're not going to be in any pain or have any sickness or anything like that. Wow.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That day.
As I say to my wife all the time, my outer man is perishing. So my inner man needs to be renewed.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the same thing. Like our outer man, fading. It's fading. It's fading. And it's, we're falling apart as human beings. From the day we're born, we're just dying the rest of our lives. But like, we have this spiritual thing, like the inner man, the fullness of who we are, the spiritual side of us. We have that renewal that can happen in us, and in that we can have everlasting resurrection life that's flowing through our veins.
And Pastor Hadley, I've quoted so many times since I heard him say it a few months back, just about the body of Christ. And he said, you know, he dropped something on his foot and he had a broken ankle, or not a broken ankle, but a
toe, broken something.
And that after a period of time, a few weeks, his body healed itself. And he related that to the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And I think a balanced life, in the sense of, God's put us in a way of life, a lifestyle. Like Paul calls it a walk. You have a walk now. Yeah. We say, what's your walk like? All that means is, what's your way of life? And the way of life that God has placed us in is, I feel like, very wholesome, in the sense that you have a private personal life with Christ. You have your work. You have your activities. You have fellowship with people. So you have like the inner life, you have the physical life, you have the mental life, and then you have the social aspect, or the fellowship life, and we have people. And I feel like if we have that in our life, we're healthy. But if I'm isolated too much, I could be in my Bible, but isolated too much, maybe that's not the best for me. I can have too much fellowship and too social and no private. That's not good for me. Mm. I'm working way too hard and not getting any sleep. Maybe that's not good for me.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's kind of simplistic, but I think following Christ, we have a wholesome, healthy way of life, walk. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that we can be healthy, you know, yeah. maybe not physically, but we can be healthy psychologically, mentally, spiritually. Yeah. And that's where God wants us to, he wants us to be healthy.
Yeah.
And if you're not, if you're listening and, you know, you feel like you are broken and you have physical ailments, physical pain, psychological, come to someone in the church. Don't go about it by yourself. Don't go at it alone. Go to someone you trust and care for. Like James said, the pastor in Jerusalem, this is what he tells us. He says, come to the elders of the church and have them lay hands on you and pray. Because that's God's means of healing people. And we need that.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah. So that was great. Thank you for that.
Of course.
Are we done?
I think so, yeah. Well, I got to say the outro. Thank you for joining us. Don't forget to subscribe to the show.
I thought I was doing the outro.
On YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Be sure to join us for our next show about healing this week. Thanks, Justin.
Thanks, Paul. Yeah, it was great. Thank you.